now.
Okay. Let's call to order the March 24th, 2020 Technical Board Registration. I'd like to make an announcement before we do the roll call. Due to the corona, many today are participating remotely. Before proceeding with the meeting, I ask that those attending remotely please adhere to the following. 5 items. The first, please be aware of your environment, especially where it concerns noise. Please mute your sound during the meeting if you only intend to listen in. Please make sure that you are calling in and accessing the meeting via your computer, that at least one device be muted for the entirety of the meeting to prevent echo. Item 2, for the record, please announce who you are before speaking. This includes when announcing a nay or abstain vote. Item 3, please do not make inappropriate comments. The board reserves the right to remove any individual from the meeting if the individual obstructs the normal process of the meeting. Item 4, before entering an executive session, all members of the public and non-essential board staff need to disconnect from the meeting. Once the executive session ends, but before entering back into public session, board staff will contact members of the public and non-essential board staff to reconnect to the meeting. Once all have reconnected, the chairman will proceed with the open meeting. Item 5, board members appearing telephonically should treat any executive session the same way they would were they physically present, i.e. close their office door or ensure they are in a location where nobody could overhear or make sure nobody is able to view their board materials. Okay, that concludes the announcements. Kirk, can we move to a roll call, please?
Okay. Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Present.
Neil Jones?
Present.
Jason Foose? Clarence McAllister?
Present.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll?
Here.
Andrew Everode?
Here.
Eugene Montgomery. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, now time for a call to the public.
Eugene.
Members of the public may address the board during this call to the public for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. However, members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. Anyone wanting to address the board for a public matter? We don't have anybody in our lobby. We have no one on the phone for a public. Okay, so let's move on to the adoption of minutes. Item 4A, we have 3 sets of board meeting minutes, and we can address these separately or as a group, as I understand it. So does anybody have any issues with any of the board meeting minutes? If not, then we can do a motion.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we accept the minutes of the 3 meetings.
That was Neil, everyone.
Is there a second?
Steve seconds.
Thank you. We have a motion in a second. Can we please vote? Let's do a group vote, and then if anyone opposes, please identify your name and your nay vote. Thank you. All those in favor of the board minutes for all 3 sessions, please say aye.
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 Okay, that motion passes.
Mr. Vice Chair, it's my suggestion we table the board meeting executive session minutes since we were unable to distribute those due to confidentiality restrictions, So we can consider those at the April meeting.
Very good. Does that take a vote?
It does not need.
Okay. We have a formal hearing at 9:30, but I think in the meantime we can move on to item 6A. And that's to review consideration of possible vote the following. Review and approval of an appointment for EAC membership for Charles Carlson of PE with nuclear emphasis. Have you guys had a chance to review that application?
Is there one?
6A.
6A1.
I don't have an application to look at. It's not in
his resume?
He wants to be an EAC member.
Thank you. Oh, okay. I got it.
See it?
Yep.
There you go.
Mr. Chair, I've reviewed Mr. Carlson's application, and I recommend that we appoint him as an EAC member. This is Alejandro.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Mr. Jones. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 No nays. Thank you. Okay, can we move on to licensing matters now, I think?
Yep.
We have four items. 7A is an application for registration for a civil engineer for Mr. Vincent Lombardi. And I have a question here. I'm seeing these numbers have six digits. Is that a different number sequence?
Application number.
Oh, that's the application number, not
right.
The registration. Okay.
Right. So 20 indicates we received it this year, and it was the 573rd application. And then once he's granted, he'll get a different number.
Great.
This is Alejandro. I have a question. It seems, in my mind, like they've all met the requirements from the statute. Can we consent all four applications?
Yes.
Yes, if you believe they all meet our requirements.
Yeah, I have no concern. So I guess I'll hear if anybody has any questions on it, but I'd like to consent and approve the four registrations under the universal licensure statute as listed in cases 7A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Thank you. We have a first. Our motion by Dr. Alejandro and a second by Mr. Jones. Can I get a vote, please? Those in favor?
Aye.
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 No nays, thank you. So that motion passes. We'll move on to item 8.
Sticky.
Licensee consent agenda. We have two items, cancellation of registrations and certifications that have been expired for one full renewal period. I'm assuming we've all looked through and checked their names.
Neil.
Made it again. It's a close call. We need to do anything?
We need to vote.
We need to make a... I need to get a motion to approve the cancellation of registrations.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to accept the registrations to be canceled, 8A1.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, we need a second.
I'll second that, Carmen.
Thank you, Carmen. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. No nays. Item 8.2 does not require a vote. Any questions? Hearing none?
I can't wait to get the 9A.
We have 17 minutes for a formal hearing, so do we got time to do 9A?
Yes, we do.
Item 9A, review, consideration of possible action, the following. Congratulations to Dr. Angel.
Yes.
Way to go, Alejandro.
Very, very funny, Melissa.
Hey, I cannot take credit for this. This was totally JFU. And what this RSP2 means, I will let Alejandro explain, but what I understand is he is one of 40 people in the entire United States to have passed some special test elevating him to his exalted position as road safety professional. He's the only one in California and only one of two in Arizona. And I don't know who else in Arizona would qualify, Alejandro, but I'm glad you're one of our two.
Wow, congratulations, Dr. Angel.
So, Alejandro, it's Neil. What does this mean?
It's a certification, Neil. It's a voluntary program for traffic safety experts. So, you know, if you're doing safety studies or forensics or things like that, it's useful for that.
What is RSP, Road Safety Professional? Okay. But
yep.
You have RSP2 under your title.
Right.
Yeah, it means I had to take two tests, not just one.
He's the exalted.
What's PTOE mean?
Professional Traffic Operations Engineer.
He has cool. Way more initials after his name than you do, Neil.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, he does.
Well.
Most important one, PhD.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. All of it's pretty cool, and all you guys rock, and we're very proud of you, Alejandro. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm gonna play this one up on the San Luis Pursuit.
You do. I like that from the minutes, too.
Okay. We probably have time, Mr. Chair, if you want an update on legislation before we take the 930 matters.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be item 9B.
Mm-hmm.
Patty and yourself?
I don't have a 9B.
Patty?
As you may have read, the legislature has adjourned for a three-week recess, so everything is coming to a halt right now. The two bills that have been the greatest concern to the board, nothing's really new on the definition of engineering, kind of what we told you last time. It was amended, maybe not in the way that this board would prefer, but in a way it can certainly be comfortable with. And it was moving forward. I think it's had to go through rules and then go to the floor. 1274, it's just kind of stopped. It made it through committee. It never did get assigned to a rule, so I don't know if you remember, but the bills go through a committee like the Commerce Committee or Regulatory Affairs Committee, and then all bills have to go through rules to make sure that they're, compliance with law. Then they go to the floor where they're discussed and vetted and voted on. So 1274 kind of stopped at rules, and we don't know why. Hopefully it was for a meeting that perhaps ACEC had requested to discuss it. We don't have any background info, but it did stop.
Is that Dr. Angel's effort to
introduce? Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
So I haven't done anything. Just to come clean. I haven't heard from ACEC, presumably because the legislature, adjourned for now. So.
And then, nothing. For the most part, the others are just kind of in the same place where they made it through the house, the original house of origin. They either made it through the committee or waiting rules, or they didn't even make it through committee yet. Have no idea what that means for the future when they reopen the legislature, how much time they're going to spend. They could all make it through. They could all die. It's a special year. So I don't have much more to tell you right now.
Right. So recess is not sine die, which is the official end of session. So they're reserving the right to reconvene after this three-week period. And they did change the rules to allow members of the legislature to appear telephonically to vote, so they don't need to come together. And again, we don't know what that means, but we'll have more info hopefully before the April meeting for you about whether they will reconvene, and if so, what they plan to do. At this point, what we've heard is they may reconvene to take up additional budget matters, but they could also reconvene to take up the votes on various bills that are still pending, and obviously all the bills we're concerned about are still pending. So hopefully we'll have more info as the 3 weeks concludes.
Melissa Pat, we've been really focused on 1298 and 1274.
Correct.
Are any of these others as sensitive to the board?
There are some that are of significant concern. One would, if somebody appeals the denial of a license, it could, or if they appeal a board's action, it could go to Superior Court, and the court would review it as a new case, which means they, instead of kind of just reviewing whether or not the board did the wrong right thing or the wrong thing, it would pretty much rehear the whole case. That would become very expensive for the board. The other issue had to do with
sunset.
There's the sunset, but it's been amended that it's not that much of a concern. Every year, like, the legislature would look at, does a group need to be licensed? It was amended to give a list that really makes our folks be a pass. So it's not great, but once again, we can live with it. The other big concern, if somebody's denied a license, it goes to the court. There's a number of bills that just kind of make everything longer, more expensive, put more weight on the AG's office to move things through. Unfortunately, they all look like they're moving forward. Another one, it says that the board can't maintain a fund that's more than 50% of their appropriations, so we would have to start the year without sufficient funds to make it through the year and rely on revenues to fill it out. But quite obviously, we're heading for a recession, so I'm hoping that bill will not be pursued because we're all going to get hit with a fee fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you guys can't get paid? You'll always get paid, right?
Yeah. I don't think it'll affect personal services, but what it may mean is our fund balance is swept by the state, mean that we cannot fund computer enhancements or any other larger projects that we may have in place or the intent, like to digitize all our records. And for right now, the budget that was passed would not allow us to fund our digitization because they just passed the slim budget that was recommended by the legislature. So bills like that are concerning. There was the one you may have mentioned where someone who applies who doesn't complete an application can appeal to Superior Court.
Yes, that actually is one of them, the bigger concerns. Essentially, you didn't turn in any COAs or you didn't get an AXP certification or you didn't pass any exams, they could now appeal it directly to Superior Court and say this is overly burdensome. So once again, more expensive on the board, more burden on the AG's office for resources.
No kidding.
And that one was going forward.
Wow. Yeah.
Come on. So no. I reject an application. They can take it.
Yeah.
Don't they have enough to do without listening to this?
Really. Now, luckily, Mr. Harris is here, and I know he was at a meeting regarding one of these bills, at least. Does the AG's office have a comment on any potential legislation that the board should be concerned about?
I think both Melissa and Patty gave a really good summary of where things are at this point.
Okay.
And I don't have anything further to add, but we'll continue to work with Patty and Melissa to update you as things move forward.
Thank you.
Great.
The good news is the bill that would require all rules to go through the legislature every year to be reapproved is dying. Nobody really wants to do that, even at the legislature.
I did this past, about 2 weeks ago, went through the effort to find my legislators. And so I've been sending out correspondence emails to my representatives. Congress.
So have I.
Thank
our
you,
office
gentlemen.
Hopefully. All my office has, too.
Everyone on the
board
is doing that.
Yeah. It's amazing. They actually respond.
The Democrats do. Yeah. The Republicans.
And they say, no, I'm not voting for that bill.
I've not heard back from anybody yet, but I'm hoping.
Well, thank you for your efforts. Any other questions on the legislation?
Okay. So, but let me be clear about this. So if this goes through, it's possible if I reject an application there, that applicant could take it up the ladder and say I'm overburdensome or whatever.
Correct. Okay. But also those applications that you've delegated the authority to us to process. So, for instance, if we get one that's not complete and we inform an applicant that you owe us an extra certificate of experience or a verification or
college transcript.
Exactly, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that applicant could then say, I'm going to Superior Court because that's a burden for me. So.
How would they know that that venue was available, that avenue was available to them in the first place?
We're probably going to be required to inform them of it.
Sign on the application.
Right. And what staff is thinking of doing, if these bills go through, we're going to need a separate page of notices that we have to provide to all the applicants about these alleged or possible new rights that they're going to have. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably don't want to look at that second one.
Okay. Can we address item 9C, the implications of COVID-19?
That will probably take longer than 5 minutes, but we certainly could do the director's report, or if you have questions you want to ask the lawyer in executive session, we would have to call him as well. So.
We'll have to call for executive session.
Right. So we might want to wait on 9C and D, but we could do D, number 10, if you have any questions about the director's report.
Did you attend Travis's sentence?
No, I did not. We just had a lot of other things to do, and I thought it was probably good just to let that go. And hopefully he will be compliant and reform.
With the NCARB, is that still on for June?
The NCARB meeting, as far as I'm aware, is still on. They are considering whether to cancel it. They don't want to because obviously they've been planning all year for the meeting.
So's Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo. We don't have to worry about that, but yeah, that's a year. So NCARB's keeping us informed. Obviously, NCWS, it has canceled the zone meeting that was scheduled in Houston in April. APLS has canceled the meeting that Jason was going to attend for us. I think that's been rescheduled to August. I haven't heard about CLARB yet.
It's not there.
Oh.
I don't have the APLS conference up there. Everything else is removed.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't have that on my. I don't have any of this.
On your agenda?
Oh, you don't have the director's report? 10?
He has, I see.
I have it, but I don't have that. That's okay. I'll just read it off the screen.
Okay. Excellent. Any other questions?
Computer updates? We got 3 minutes.
Computer updates. We understand that State Procurement sent the required letter to Knowledge Services, who effectively hired our vendor for us, saying we consider the project concluded because the last milestone was unacceptable for security reasons and the project exceeded time frames. So we have not heard a response yet. Obviously, they have an opportunity to respond, so this may continue as an item of discussion.
Are you, I don't know if I can ask this, are you actively trying to get home inspectors over to the real estate board, or has that died?
That has died, and it's not on the agenda, but it was part of a director's meeting some months back, and that is not something the governor's office wanted to pursue.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the community outreach? Clear?
Right. The community outreach was about the postponement of the CLEAR webinar that we were asked to put on in at the end of this month. It has tentatively been rescheduled to April, and what they're asking us to talk about is our experience with universal licensure, since we were the first state to enact that statute, and now at least several other states are looking at very similar legislation. So they're hoping that our experiences can be informative for other people interested in or certainly facing these issues. So, great. That's my report, unless you have any other questions. Tried to keep it brief this month in JMAD's honor.
Yeah. Bruce really must be sick.
Struck throat, he thinks.
He hopes.
Yeah.
Well, we all hope.
Yeah. We do.
Okay, we're at 9:29. Can I go ahead and start?
I'll wait till 9:30.
I'll wait till 9:30, okay.
I hate to be that guy.
That's why we love you, Scott.
Can't work in my office. It follows rules.
I know.
Well, in all fairness, my boss is sitting directly behind
me. There it is, 9:30. Okay, let's go to item, I think that's 5A.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chair, if I may, just to be on the safe side, can we do a quick roll call with people in the teleconference to make sure we haven't lost anybody before we do the hearing?
Okay, very good. Kurt?
All right, please say here. Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Here.
Clarence McAllister.
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Here.
Stephen Knoll.
Here.
Andrew Everode.
Here.
All telephonic are here with us.
Thank you, Kurt.
I want to make you smile.
This is the time set for consideration. The administrative law judge's recommended decision in case number AL19-015, the matter regarding Amanda Hensley and Encore OnGuard LLC. Are the parties present? Seeing none.
Dini Rancho.
Dini's on the phone.
Attorney's present. Thank you.
Melissa.
As a preliminary matter, I will ask that all board members indicate that they have received and reviewed the administrative law judge decision and the record in this matter. We need to poll the board members, please.
Okay. Please say that I have read or somehow indicate that you have read and received the ALJ order. Dr. Alejandro Angel.
I have.
Jack Gilmore.
I have.
Neil Jones.
I have.
Clarence McAllister.
I have.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Yes, I have.
Stephen Knoll.
I have.
Andrew Everode.
I have.
Okay, on to oral argument. The board will now hear brief oral argument from the parties on the ALJ's recommended decision. Please understand that this is not the time for you to re-argue the merits of your case. Please focus on the recommended outcome and any errors you believe are contained in the recommended decision. Each party will have 5 minutes. Since the state has the burden of proof in this matter, it shall go first and be allowed to save some of its time for a brief rebuttal. Then we will hear from the respondent. So we'll start with the state. Will that be Dini Ray or Mr. Harris?
Dini.
Dini.
Ms. Ray.
Ms. Ray?
Dini Ray. Yes. So I recommend that you accept the decision. I do think that there are a couple of minor changes that need to be made to clarify it. And if you will look at page 4 of the decision, which is, it's actually paragraph 23, there's some confusion in that paragraph. And I would point out the second to last sentence should be corrected to confirm to the record. It starts, Mr. Sam stated. And if everybody has that, I will explain what I think should be amended there. Where it says, Mr. Sam stated that, I believe delinquent status should be inserted before the word must. So it would read, Mr. Sam stated that delinquent status meant the certificates were suspended. That's actually the third to last sentence. Sorry about that. In addition, the next sentence that says certificates 63232 and 67706 were delinquent and expired, also awaiting renewal payment by controlling party. That sentence, if they were delinquent, they were not expired. So I would suggest that you remove the words expired and also. So it now would read certificate 63232 and 6706 were delinquent and awaiting renewal payment by a controlling party. And I think that will correct the record, or correct the decision to conform to the testimony in the record. In addition, in the order, which would be page... That, I believe.
What page is that? I'm sorry.
I think it's, let me just make sure, it's page 8. I'm sorry, page 8. The order reads that the respondents, and by the complaint there are two respondents, that would be Ms. Hensley and her firm, On Guard, states that those respondents will pay the sum of $10,000, $2,000 for each violation as a civil penalty pursuant to ARS section 32-106.02B. And I believe that it would be correct if you added which respondents shall be jointly, for which respondents shall be jointly and severally responsible. I think you need to put that in there to make it clear that both Ms. Hensley and her firm are jointly and severally responsible for that fine, the civil penalty. Other than that, I think that the decision is accurate and should be accepted.
Kurt, is that all clear in the corrections?
I wrote down my own notes, but it'll be done by us.
Okay.
I guess we're just making all the modifications.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Harris?
Mr. Harris, do you want to...
Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the board, thank you. I do have just one question, if I actually may pose it to counsel. And in keeping with the order on page 8, it's noted that the disciplinary action against respondents for three statutory violations and require respondents to pay the sum of $10,000, $2,000 for each violation. Is it your suggestion that that be modified to five statutory violations?
Yes, that's...
If I can answer that question, and I meant to mention this too, I'm sorry, my fault. She did say in the order earlier that there were five out violations. My recommendation is just to remove the word three, because I think it's confusing. She did indicate earlier
violations actually. Three.
There were five, and if you look above the order on paragraph 9 of the findings of or conclusions of law. She does state that there were five violations in this matter. So I would just recommend that you remove the word three.
This is Alejandro. I had a question on that as well, but I think what the judge meant is that there were three statutes that were violated on five separate occasions.
I would agree that that's what she meant, but it is confusing, so if you want to change that, I don't see any harm in changing it.
Okay.
To just take out the tree.
Okay, but that would be under a separate motion, right? Because first we have to do findings of fact and conclusions of law, and then later we would do the penalty, correct?
That would be my recommendation.
That would, Mr. Hare, pick me.
That's Mark's recommendation, yes.
Sounds good.
Mr. Harris, anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, I don't suspect we'll have a respondent's argument. So I think we can move on. Having reviewed the administrative law judge's proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, in this case, the record provided to us, and the arguments from the parties, the board will now discuss the decision. Motions of findings of fact. Is there a motion on the findings of fact? And there are some options here.
Mr. Chair, I move that the board adopts the findings of fact as recommended by the administrative law judge and as modified by the Attorney General's office advice.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, this is Mark Harrison. Can I just clarify that the motion includes the justification to the changes to findings of fact, paragraph 23, to conform to the testimony in the record?
Yes, that was my intent. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Let's vote, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the aye. No nay votes for the record. Thank you. We move on to the conclusions of law. The next issue for discussion is the conclusion of law. Is there a motion on the conclusions of law?
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro Angel. I would move that we adopt the a penalty of $10,000 as recommended by the administrative law judge, but that we modify the order to say that imposing the discipline against respondent for 5 violations of board statutes and requiring payment of $10,000.
Okay.
That's actually a step later.
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, is it possible to entertain a motion to adopt the conclusions of law prior to Mr. Alejandro's motion?
I bet.
Okay. It's hard being telephonic.
Yeah. Dr. Angel, you want to start it with a different motion then?
Sure. I move that the board adopt the conclusions of law from the administrative law judge order.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a second, please?
Second.
Do we need to modify as recommended by the AG? Or?
I don't believe that the conclusions of law have been modified.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Okay, no nay.
Aye, aye.
Okay. The final issue for discussion is the board's order. Now is the time for the board to make a motion and deliberate. And I think this is where we discuss the penalty. Is there a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro. Can I move that we order or adopt the judge's order, except that I had revised to say that we found 5 violations of board statutes, as the judge had noted under item number 9 of the conclusions of law.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Angel. Is there a second, please?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jones. Can we get a vote, please? All those...
Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, did you also want to include a sentence at the end of the paragraph indicating that both respondents will be jointly and severally responsible for the administrative penalty?
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Yes.
Someone has to pay.
Do we need to modify the motion, or can we let that recommendation stand?
No, if we could, and I was just also wondering, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, is it the board's practice to typically put a time frame for the payment of that in there?
Yes, I believe it is.
Yes.
So let me try, this is Alejandro again, I'll take Mr. Harris' advice and recommend that both the firm and individuals be jointly responsible. But also that we set a 90-day period to collect payment or seek payment, and if not, send it to collections. Would that be appropriate?
Yes. The board's practice, Mr. Harris, is also to include the payment of investigative costs. Is that something we could also include in this matter, or?
Yes.
Okay. Is that something the board is interested in doing?
I don't know, Melissa, frankly, I don't know. I guess I'll listen to everybody. $10,000 is already a fairly high penalty and a round number. I don't know that we would gain a lot by, you know, changing it by, and I don't know exactly what the investigative costs are. Maybe that's something we should ask about first.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Does anybody know?
We don't.
Kramer, we don't know. He did interview 15 people, and the cost for the hearing as well, but we don't have those calculated yet. I mean, I guess we could include it for staff to determine if you think that's lawful.
I mean, you certainly can. I mean, best practices would be to know what those are and put that in the order, but you can certainly... if you want to assess the administrative costs of the hearing and investigation, direct staff to calculate that and incorporate that in the order.
And again, that's the board's preference, or practice. It may not be the preference in this case.
Melissa, this is Alejandro again. I just think, one, since we don't know yet, two, since it's a big number, and three, to deviate as little as possible from the ALJ's decision, I would still make my motion just with the $10,000.
Okay.
Payable within 90 days.
Yes. And jointly and severally liable.
Jointly and severally liable, if not paid in 90 days, sent to collections.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Angel. I think that completes the motion, but we need a second.
Neil.
Second.
Thank
he
you.
Already
did it.
All right. Yeah. Can we get a vote, please? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Thank you.
Hearing none.
Hearing
motion
none.
Passes.
The motion passes.
Be chairman.
Conclusion. Chairperson, this concludes this matter before the board. The board's decision will be reduced to writing and sent out to the parties shortly. Further appeal rights of the board's decision will be set forth in writing in the order. Thank you for attending. Thank you, Ms. Ray.
Thank you, Mr.
Ray. I'll be signing off if you need me for something else.
Thank you, Deanie.
All righty. Bye-bye, all.
Okay, I think we can move on to item 6B.
6B?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, 5B.
5B.
Thanks for Kathy. Okay, this is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with P18-028, Mr. Kurt Redder and KPR Consulting Engineers. It's scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Technical Registration. Will the parties please identify themselves, first the state, and then the respondent?
Good morning, Scott Donald on behalf of the state, Mr. Chair, or Vice Chair.
Thank you.
Can everyone hear Scott?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
We should let the record know there's no respondents available. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks to the issue of whether you received the complaint and notice of hearing and why you did not timely answer and file an answer as required by the board statutes and rules. We'll start with the state, please. Mr. Donald.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. As you just stated, it is a matter of complying with the board statutes and rules. The board, as evidenced in the motion, the board has a statute requiring an answer in a case. Otherwise, the state may move to deem the allegations admitted. In this case, the state attempted service every means that was possible at the respondent's address. The business address, the complaint notice of hearing was emailed to respondent, an email that he had used in the past. There was no response. A skip trace was actually performed where a professional service people were retained to perform a skip trace to review various databases to attempt to determine address for the individual in the business. Wasn't able to determine anything, and ultimately the state proceeded to service by publication in order to attempt to achieve service, in which the complaint notice of hearing was published for four consecutive weeks. At this point, we believe that service has been functionally accomplished in this case. There has been no answer received. And certainly today we are beyond the window of time for a timely answer. The state is asking at this time then that the board deem the allegations as admitted in this case.
Very good. There is no respondent, so we'll move on to motions. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion or move to motions. The first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted. Is there a motion, please? Any discussion?
Alejandro.
Go, Neil.
I'm your second guy.
I'll move.
Thank you, Carmen.
So there's been a motion to deem the state's position by Carmen. Is there a second?
Second.
Well, all those in favor of the vote, please say aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Anyone voting nay?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. The board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the factual allegations and the alleged violations from the complaint and notice of hearings as findings of fact and conclusions of law? Any discussion? We can move to a motion.
This is Clarence, I move.
Thank you. We have a motion to adopt the factual allegations and the allegations of unprofessional conduct. We don't need all that. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dr. or Mr. Jones.
Call me doctor.
That was a Freudian thing. Sorry.
It's okay.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
I could be a doctor.
Aye.
Any nays? Hearing none is passed. We'll move on to discipline. The final issue of determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of facts and the conclusions of law we've adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue, first the state, then the respondent. Mr. Donaldson?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I believe the complaint relatively speaks for itself. I would ask at this time that the board find that the allegations of violations have been proved based on the factual allegations that have been adopted by the board.
Okay. There is no respondent, so we can. Board may consider. So, as I do.
Make a motion.
So we're ready for motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a motion then to accept the state's recommendation, please?
So moved.
Seconded by Mr. Jones.
Well, he moved. Who seconds?
I will second.
Oh, good.
Can I do both?
All those in favor of the state motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Hearing none, motion passes.
And Mr. Vice Chair, I may have misunderstood. I understood that the board was asking my recommendation concerning the allegations of violations. Was the board asking the state's recommendation for an order?
Yes.
I apologize then. I misunderstood.
Okay.
Yes, at this time, if I may, to briefly revisit it, I would ask that the board find that it's appropriate to issue a $2,000 penalty against both respondents in the case with several liability, as well as that they be assessed any costs of investigation that are assessable at this time. I do believe that the maximum penalty dollar penalty allowable law is appropriate in this case, especially considering the lengths the board has had to go to attempt to bring this case against the respondents.
Mr. Donald, were there two violations?
There are two potential violations of ARS 32.145.1 and 4. But the primary violations are going to be, yes, two violations for unregistered practice. So yes, I do believe the actionable violations are the unregistered practice against Mr. Redder and the KPG.
So you're recommending the maximum penalty for two violations for a total of $4,000?
Yes.
Plus the cost of investigation?
Yes. Again, we've joined
the
several liability.
Administrative penalties will be added to that as well?
The cost of investigation.
Cost of investigation, yes. Thank you. So do we need a new motion then to address this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we've heard recommendation from the state for penalty. Two violations, totaling $4,000, cost of investigation, and, is that it?
Jointly and severally liable, meaning one party or the other will have to pay.
Okay, jointly and Severably liable. Thank you. I get a practice.
Who determines that? A judge.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, do you also want to make this penalty payable within 90 days?
Thank you. We'll add that to the motion, payable within 90 days or goes to collection. Thank you. Can I get a motion to that effect, please?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We'll give that credit to Carmen. Thank you.
Dang it.
Is there a motion to, or sorry, a vote to in favor of the motion, please? All those say aye.
Aye.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay, please. Hearing none, motion passes. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served to the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you for attending. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Okay.
9C or 9D? We may not need an executive session, Mr. Chair, unless members have questions.
Anyone, any of our board members requesting an executive session? And that was to review our current litigation, 1274?
If you have questions, yes. You should all have received the copy of the response, and our attorneys just want to have me urge to you that they are actively researching, drafting, and plan to reply in a timely manner. Superior courts are closed until March 30th because of the coronavirus, so they anticipate their reply is due April 13th. So any other updates I can provide when they become available.
Thank you. Any discussion from the board on this matter? Okay, I think if questions arise, then we can send them to Melissa or Patty.
Yes. Or call me and then I can speak directly with our attorneys.
Okay. Do you anticipate we'll get another conference call-in session with the attorneys if they make a decision soon?
We can certainly talk about that as a suggested future meeting.
Because if this is due on the 13th, some decision, will they present something back to this board before the 13th that we need to address?
That is possible. I can inquire.
Melissa, I have to sign off for a 10 o'clock meeting.
Okay.
Should I call back in, or do you think we're almost done?
I think we're almost done, but if you have questions, you can certainly call me later, and I'm happy to fill you in. And thank you for attending, Alejandro. If you also have topics for a future meeting, suggestions, feel free to just let us know, okay?
Well, dude, thank you, everybody.
Stay safe. You
too. You as well. Thanks,
Alejandro.
So is it your preference then to have a possible meeting to discuss the case with the lawyer?
I think I'm going to put that in your lap.
Okay.
If decision, depending on what comes out of their opinion, if it requires some discussion, then
okay,
I'll leave that in your capable hands.
Okay. So possible approval of a reply or questions about it. I will relay that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're ready for 9C, the implications of the COVID-19 on the board. Melissa?
Thank you. Obviously, the COVID-19 has been all over the news, and it's everywhere, and everyone knows about it. Implications obviously have been here. We're appearing telephonically. Maybe we need to appear or provide for telephonic appearances in April as well. our governor issued two executive orders. One yesterday talks about what will remain open and what will be closed. And we are still considered an essential service, so one executive order prohibits the closure of essential services. And so, you know, we are still receiving applications, and I'm not certain about complaints if those numbers have dropped off, but
they have dropped.
Okay. We are in the process of trying to facilitate teleworking for some of our employees who can work from documents that have been scanned into our computer system and access those documents through the Google Drive. That, unfortunately, is not the bulk of our staff because we still are very paper intensive. As you know, even the online renewals come to us in paper form and need to be manually inputted because our computer system just doesn't accommodate the electronic connection directly to our database. So our staff is still here. We are, as far as I'm aware, the first agency in Maricopa County that is contracting with a professional cleaning company to come in and clean the board suite.
Mm-hmm.
That cleaning will start this afternoon at 4 o'clock, where they will be wiping down walls and all the surfaces, spraying and doing whatever the CDC protocol is and using the required disinfectant. I think it's really important that we do this for staff as well as for the public and for all of you who come to visit us, so we at least know we're doing the most we can to be proactive in defense of the health of our staff and you and the public that visits us. Of course, once things are disinfected, they can be reinfected almost immediately if someone comes in and, you know, is sick, but we have some guidelines from the CDC that the governor has copied that will hopefully help us. We are also talking about having the suite cleaned a second time at the hopeful end of the pandemic just to make sure we're as clean as possible. Everyone is pretty anxious. I'm sure you've experienced this in your practice as well. But the state remains open because there are essential services, obviously, not just us, but all the other state agencies do provide. So at this point, the governor has not closed the state like has occurred in 17 other states currently. And I heard him say yesterday that we're not that bad yet. We shall see what happens in the coming weeks.
If you read that essential list, everything's open.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right. except for restaurants.
Yeah, right.
I do have an article I found online yesterday, which has some legal opinions about whether a shutdown negatively impacts construction projects and whether there's insurance for that. If any of you on the phone want a copy of that, I'm happy to scan it and send it to you. It was sent to me by a national law firm, and it's public as far as I can tell, so I am happy to share that with you. And
so all of these people that are attorneys at the top, did they collectively write this?
They may have contributed
is that
research and authorship of the article, so that's why they're listed at the top.
I know Michael O'Connor.
Okay, good.
Works for APS.
I would appreciate a copy, Melissa.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. I think construction is still on the list of essential services in the governor's executive order, so hopefully this won't yet negatively impact any of your projects, but if you obviously have questions, you can contact us. We'll see what we can do about it. And also, as it impacts any of your contracts, I'd encourage you to talk with whatever legal counsel you may have on retainer about how that may affect your contractual responsibilities. But hopefully this article can give you some basic guidance, and then obviously each case is on a case-by-case basis. What else can I tell you? You know, I've been...
Wait a second. So, Carmen, this is Neil. Have you had any of your school projects, any of your school projects delayed?
I was going to say, we haven't seen delays. I've been on a lot of national conference calls, and even our work in the state of Washington, they're allowing construction to continue. They're doing city inspections by FaceTime now instead of letting their inspectors go out. I've been on these daily calls. Nationally, we haven't seen much slowdown. So knock on wood, people are just switching to online calls like today.
Have you had any of your design contracts put on hold?
Not yet. I'll take that back. I got a $10,000 locker room that might be delayed. But we're actually finding our commercial clients are, we do a lot of work with Amazon, and they're ramping up, Google's ramping up. Anything that touches tech or virtual reality, everybody's going gangbusters on that. And then with the school shut down, they're trying to get some summer work done in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So construction actually has kind of ramped up, which is interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
So we'll see. We'll see it when we get 3 or 4 weeks in, but so far, so good.
Okay,
thank you. That's good. Patty and I will be attending a meeting scheduled twice a month by the state HR department to hear about how this may, the pandemic affect our employees. I can tell you I am not pleased with the lack of leadership and sympathy for state employees, not healthcare, because healthcare obviously has gotten a lot of kudos, which they rightly deserve, but I think there is anxiety in my office and in other state offices about how this will affect state employees, and we are not being given any special treatment. And not that we need it, but even just to hear, thank you so much for maintaining your dedication to the pursuit of the mission of protecting public health and safety. I know from Scott, the AG's office is promoting teleworking as much as possible. The sad thing is that we can't offer it because, of course, our budget requests have gone unanswered and our plans have been put on hold. And then at the same time, we're told, well, why can't you have telework? And I'm like, because, you won't let us raise fees and you won't approve our budget requests to improve our computer system. So I just feel that the powers that be need to understand that, and I don't know that they do. So.
I wonder if the governor's working from home.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. So.
At your office where you are, you have a lot of attorneys. They're all telecommuting, teleworking.
Not all. Ones that can are, but we have. I've been in the office most days because of the nature of what I do. I have a lot of meetings.
Me too.
There are attorneys who are able to telecommute or take advantage of that.
Okay.
The
commute has been a lot easier.
The commute is the best thing about this. I expect the cleaning for our office to cost anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000. And again, I see that as something necessary. It will come out of our operating budget, and I'm hoping that with some of the federal comments that we may actually be reimbursed for the cleaning based on some of the aid packages that will become available to the state. So I just think whatever we can do, it's important to do it, and I just hope all of you stay healthy, and I really appreciate your continued dedication to the board and, its mission to protect the public health and safety. which includes granting registrations and obviously coming up the resolution of our enforcement matters. So do you have any other things you want to add, Patty?
No.
Okay. Doug? Nope. Scott, anything? No? Any questions from anyone about our plan? I'm trying to keep you as informed as I can about what I'm doing and what our plans are here, and I will continue to do that. But please feel free to call me if you have any questions or concerns or ideas that you think are good and you want to share. I'm always happy to hear that. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
So, Melissa, can I ask the group at large the same question Neil asked? Are you seeing a lot of changes in projects or construction due to this?
I've had a couple on hold until the summer, mm-hmm. but all my construction projects are still moving forward.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. This is Clarence McAllister. Our projects are still ongoing. Some of the projects are being canceled, upcoming projects are being canceled. But some colleagues of mine, I think California, Illinois, Pennsylvania, especially in California, everything's shut down, including construction. So California is pretty bad shape. Other states that are shut down, they identify construction as essential so that it continues.
Thanks.
I am fortunate
that you
picked up some new projects, zoning cases.
This is Steve. Most of our projects are still going on in the field. Our well drilling and testing projects, they haven't stopped yet.
Well, we need that water, even though it's now, what, 10,000 feet down, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jack said that he, too, is feeling a little bit of contract issues.
Yeah, but we were just received two good projects, some new zoning cases, so we are moving forward. And the zoning takes 6 to 8 months, so those projects are long term.
Impacts to the cities, have you?
Yeah, you know, it's the reviews and just scheduling meetings.
Yeah.
They're doing that over the phone.
Yeah.
I wonder how people are getting building permits.
You can submit electronically, and yeah, they're doing the reviews, I think, even from home.
Okay.
Are they using outside consultants?
But now we're getting a little outside.
Okay, sorry. Scott's a little nervous. Yeah. But
any other director's report items? Are we all
no.
done?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to meet telephonically or put that possibility out there in like 2 weeks, which should be before...
Since everything's on recess, do we need to have a telephonic call? I don't think
well,
so.
As Jack suggested, we may want to at least keep open the possibility of talking to our attorneys about the litigation and receive any legal advice from them. So that would be the only reason thus far, unless you feel...
Like his opinion on the motion to dismiss?
I can relate to you that he and I share the same opinion about the motion to dismiss, and they are currently actively pursuing a reply and reviewing all the case law that was cited, some of which I believe was misquoted and taken out of context.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. So his remark to me was they are summarizing the issues.
Yeah,
so
save it here.
You
know, quote from him.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I'd like an update. You know, if it's 5-10 minute call, I'd like to hear from him.
We can at least tentatively schedule, and then if we don't need it, we'll let you cancel,
yeah,
or we'll cancel and let you guys know.
9 o'clock, a couple of Tuesdays from now.
Right. So that would be April 7th.
April 7th, 9 o'clock, does that work for everybody? Let Melissa know if there's conflict, I suppose.
Yes, and Kurt will send out notice, so for those who can attend, that would be great. for those who can't, just let Kurt know. And again, if we don't need the meeting, we'll inform you.
Okay. Okay, our next board meeting is April 28th, unless we have this telephonic conference. Any other suggested topics for future meetings? Probably not. Let's adjourn this, please. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. I
think it's appropriate to tell everyone.
Thank you.
About RoboShop.
Hold on, please.
It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay. We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Stay healthy.